Amen. I'm going to read to us from Psalm 95, whilst Phil makes the long journey from behind me to before me. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Yeah, amen.
Lord, we thank you that we have the honor and privilege of having just done what your word says, of coming before you to sing and to celebrate as your very people. And Lord, recognizing that we're your flock, Lord, would you shepherd us and guide us and lead us? And Lord, as Phil comes to speak to us, would you speak to us through him this morning? May your hand of anointing and your spirit be afresh upon Phil today.
Yes,
in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Lee told me to make some notes this time. So I thought, you know, set your calendar, captain's log, star date 2030 or something. Arthur would understand that much better than me. Good morning. Well, the subject this morning is praise. And something that's always been close to my heart. And so I'm taking this opportunity to explore some of the stuff in the Old Testament especially. Sometimes I think when we look at David, he seems to have this magnificent revelation of who God is. And I think we're still catching up sometimes, you know. I was looking at the communion table this morning and thinking, wow, in a more holy manner than before, I thought, this is represents the body and blood of my Savior who gave his life for me, you know. Just awesome. And we sang Be Still for the Presence of God today, and I felt, wow, there's more we can yet explore. There's more we can yet give in our praise to recognize this great God. Yes? If you think no, then, you know, there's so much more we can give. David said when he danced before the Lord, and it says all the congregation, all the people celebrated. So I don't think for a minute David was alone dancing. I don't know what dance he did, but, and he saw his wife, and his wife said, you flipping, you know, embarrassment. And he said this, this is the king of Israel who 3,000 years ago wrote lots of stuff that we're still reading and learning about how to worship God. And he said, I will yet be more undignified. He didn't care what people thought. He didn't care what his wife thought. He didn't care what the nation thought. He cared what God thought. Oh boy, I've got a way to go. Maybe you have too. 3,000 years ago, he wrote stuff and others wrote stuff, and we're still learning it. We're still putting it into practice. In 2003, and I haven't got a lot of time, 2003, Jean and I went to a church in South Liverpool because we were just for a couple of weeks in between churches. No, we didn't know that then. And we thought, let's go and see how the other half worship. Because we'd never been away from our own churches, you know, as many of us don't. And we went to this church, and there were maybe 400 people there, and a pastor whom I knew, which is why I'm not telling you who he is. And they were singing all the songs we sing, and I wanted to go, yeah, you know, but I would have been the only one. I looked around and thought, not one person is giving it loads, you know. They're singing the words, but there's nothing more than that. And I had a tussle. Do I go, yeah, you know? And people think, oh, what a wally is he, you know? We don't do that here or something. Or do I go, yeah, and people think offended by that somehow? In the end, after a few minutes, I decided I'm here to worship God. And I did whatever I felt was appropriate. And on the way out, the pastor's doing the shaky hands thing, you know. And I say I knew him, very respect for the man. And he said these words to me that are so sad. And I want you to take it to your heart and ask, does this affect you in some way? He said, I wish I could do that. Pastor of a big church, I wish I could do that. And the reality is that his eldership, and whatever else it was about that, didn't do that. And he wanted to do it, but he was constrained by what other people thought. And I'm wondering this morning, since this is part of the purpose for this, do you wonder what people think if you put your hands up, or if you clapped, or if you're a bit more jubilant? Or they might think I'm a bit of a wally or religious nutcase, you know. Do you care what people think? I do sometimes. Or do you want to worship God in a biblical fashion? And then I'm looking at this stuff in the Psalms, and I'm thinking, David knew why he was praising God. He knew why he was worshiping God. And we know some of those reasons. But he seems to have had a list of things, you know. We could look at it a bit later. And I'm reminded of the hymn, You'll Forgive Me If I Go, Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. No. That was a Milton Jones moment, I think. Keep a record of prayers and answers so that when you come to praise him, you know why you're praising him. Not just that, I know he died for us, and that's the fantastic thing. And this here tells us the wonderful things he's done for us. But there's other stuff in your life. It's the kind of stuff that you will share with other people. I was praying about this, and God answered my prayer. And I want to tell you what God's done for me. David seems to have done that in the Psalms. So I'm going to do it. I've tried at times. I'm going to keep a record of my prayers and the answers. Because God answers prayer, doesn't he? Pray a bit harder. Thank you for those that are praying for my feet. Pray a bit harder. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Some simple stuff this morning, but I hope it's helpful. Four things about, I'm using the word praise because I think that's more appropriate, but I'm using the word worship as well. There has to be someone to worship. Slightly obvious. There's many people, do you think there's people worthy of praise out there? People worthy of praise? Is the Queen worthy of praise, maybe? Are community workers, a giver of their time to help people, are they worthy of some kind of praise and thanks? Hospital workers who work hours and hours to help people, are they worthy of praise? Some of you are awake. Let's try this side. Are they worthy of some praise? But none of them is worthy of worship. We worship the one who is the creator, the savior. So there needs to be someone to worship. And our praise to him is in the context of our worship. And this is interesting. There has to be somewhere to worship. The Garden of Eden was the first temple, because in it was the first sacrifice. And it's where God met with people. That's a temple. We come here to meet with God. I know we can do it at home, and there's a personal application. But God has chosen places to be worshipped. Under Moses, there was a tabernacle, and God chose, this is where you come to worship me and to offer your sacrifices. And we'll come to sacrifices. David built a tent. To house the Ark of the Covenant. That's the joy of my life, that stuff. David's tabernacle, until Lee tells me off. I love David's tabernacle. Free access to God, that's where we are today, isn't it? Coming boldly before the throne of grace to look for help in time of need. not having to go through priests and animal sacrifices and whatever else. Wonderful. David had that kind of revelation. And then Solomon comes along with this temple which David conceived of. And we'll look at the scripture there shortly. I hope. Yes, we will. Solomon has this magnificent temple, lots of gold, lots of precious things in it. And in that temple, animals are still sacrificed, but also all the stuff David had of praise and of worship and singers and musicians was added to that. Excuse me. And a bit later, well, Israel became occupied and a lot of that ceased. A lot of that ceased. The sacrifices ceased. But then Jesus came along, and through his death, all the animal sacrifice is gone. We know that. What's left? Well, the worship is still there. The praise is still there. The music is still there. Jesus is the temple. Because he said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And through his spirit in us, we have become that temple. Yes. When Jesus was on earth, if you wanted to find God, you had to find Jesus, because that's where God deigned his presence would be. And now today, if you want to find God's presence, by and large, you've got to come here. I know as Christians, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. But Paul's bigger point is that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are the place where God is worshipped and praised. We are the place where you come to find him. I know you can find it outside because you're a Christian, you've got the Holy Spirit. But I'm just making a point about what I think is the greater truth, that God is building a spiritual house. God, 1 Peter 2, 5-9, God is building a spiritual house, and we are that house. So somewhere to worship. Obviously, someone to give worship is. 1 Peter 2, 5-9. Did I put this on the screen? Did I put this on the screen? Yes. You also like living stones. Can we read it together? You also like living stones are being built in a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And verse 9, please, Maestro. Massive by magic. Verse 9. Pardon? There we are. Let's go again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Declaring the praises both here and elsewhere. Wow. We're the worshippers. We know that. Then there's something to worship with. Again, in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant under Moses, it was animal sacrifices. Can you imagine the bloodshed of people round the clock bringing sacrifices, morning sacrifices, evenings? You know, Psalm 141, verse 2, David said, let the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifice. That probably saved a lot of money as well. Let the lifting of my hands be as the evening, or we could say the morning sacrifice maybe. Because, you know, they would lift up the sacrifice, wouldn't they, before the Lord. And my notes fell on the floor. This is just the first page. Oh, well, get real, okay. Oh, it's wet down there. Yeah. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are what we bring, or as the NIV says, songs from the Spirit. And some people have said psalms are songs from the Scripture. I'm going to say yes, they're psalms from the Scripture. That's what they are. They're not other things, they're psalms. And there's enough there for us to get on with, praising him through psalms. Can you imagine 3,000 years later we're singing the songs and the words that someone else sang and penned 3,000? I know we have our own stuff as well, but it's wonderful to sing those psalms. The temple is the link between heaven and earth. It always was. The Garden of Eden, Jesus. That's where God met people. The temple, the place. And here is the place between heaven and earth. And as we come in, I was just amazed this morning, the sense of God's presence, which will get stronger. We really are coming into his presence. You know, it isn't we're coming to church to sing songs. That's just a means to an end. He calls us into his presence. And through our songs, we're inviting himself to make his presence known to us. And that will increase. It has to increase. Yeah, we can't just come anywhere we choose. God has chosen that the church, the body of Christ, is the place where he is worshipped. Amen. 1 Chronicles 28:14, please, Maestro. How am I doing for time, boss? Sorry? Oh, we just started. That's the introduction. So, I want you to read this with me as well. Can you all see it? Am I in the way? Okay. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the portico of the temple, its buildings, its storerooms, its upper part, its inner rooms, and the place of atonement. He gave him the plans of all that the Spirit had put in his mind for the court of the temple of the Lord and all the surrounding rooms, for the treasuries of the temple of God and for the treasuries of the dedicated things. See, this was God's idea. It wasn't just David thought, I know one day I'll build a temple for the Lord. He was the man after God's own heart, but God gave him those plans by the Spirit. When David was anointed as a youngster, he said the Spirit came on him powerfully. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that glass of water? I'm doing a Dave Robbo. I could do worse. He had the plans. It was God's idea. This is God's idea this morning for him to be worshipped. And the next one, please. This one blew me away because I've been looking for this for years. I only found it a couple of weeks ago. Verse 24 as well. Is it? Oh, no, 25. Yeah, all right, you'll go with that. There's more to it than that, isn't there? Yes, there's another screen. So he stationed the Levite in the... This is Hezekiah, by the way, the son of the wicked king Ahab and Jezebel. So this is a Hezekiah's revival. And in the revival, he's bringing back the stuff of David. So he stationed the Levites in the temple of the Lord, together please, with cymbals, harps, and lyres in the way prescribed by David and Gad the king's seer and Nathan the prophet. This was commanded by the Lord through his prophets. Is there another verse, boss? No? If there isn't, it's okay. I'll read it. So the Levites stood ready with David's instruments and the priests with their trumpets. 120 priests with trumpets. That was a quiet meeting, wasn't it? And Hezekiah gave the order to sacrifice the burnt offering on the altar. As the offering began, singing to the Lord began, accompanied by trumpets and the instruments of King David of Israel. And they all continued until the burnt offering was completed. God never left the sacrifices to choice. He told them exactly what to bring, how to bring it, how to prepare it. And thankfully, we don't have to do that today. In one sense, though we come with a sacrifice of praise, he wants our best, doesn't he? He deserves our best. There's no sense of failure we have a bad day. You know, we're not in that old system. We're free. But we want to come and worship. We need to come and praise him. God is the only person in the universe that can demand worship and praise without being a bighead. Because he is that wonderful, as we read in the Psalms. So we need to see him and worship him and pursue him. 1 Corinthians 14, 24-25, please. You're best seeing the Bible say it rather than me. discussing spiritual gifts, Paul says, together, if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he'll be convinced by all that he's a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare, so he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, surely God is really among you. Go. Prophesy. Well, in the presence of God, that's one of the things that happens. And as more of God's presence is known, it's going to start popping up here now, I believe. Because God is speaking to us and through us for the sake of others. God is really among you. Don't you want people to come in and say, wow? I know sometimes they do, but more people come in and say, wow, God is really here. Yes? Hope I'm making sense. I've got three things that as I read through all the Psalms in preparation, and I haven't got time to do all of this. Goodness me, no. I got the stuff below here. So, three things about praise. First of all, it's personal. I call that praise as our walk, our daily walk. Then praise as our worship, our corporate worship. That's what I enjoy the most, always have. And then praise as our warfare, when what we sing and how we sing it, God deals with the enemies and the situations in our life. Are you with me? The Psalms express the walk, the personal aspect of praise. Talk about God's nature and what he's done. David and others had a list of why are we praising him? And these are some of the reasons why. I will sing the Lord's praise because he's been good to me. Proclaiming aloud your praise, telling all your wonderful deeds. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. And then I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You've delivered me from all my troubles. I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love. For you're my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. Time. There's a funny one, really. I'll just do this one. I say it's funny. Psalm 34, where David says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise shall be in my mouth. And that's a psalm that came from the time when he went to King Achish of the Philistines. And he went to Achish because Saul was pursuing him for his life. So he went to the Philistines to get protection. I think he'd done it before. And they said, hang on, isn't the fella who they said, Saul has killed his thousands, but David is tens of thousands, that's us. He's killed tens of thousands of us, and he's come to us protection. Get out. And so because he felt threatened, David started to pretend to be mad. He's drooling at the mouth, scratching on the wall. In the end, they chucked him out. Some of us don't have to pretend that much, I suppose. You don't have to be mad to work here, but it helps occasionally. You know? A very interesting life, and out of that he wrote the psalm. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then there's corporate worship. And I don't know whether I've been biased in pulling scriptures out, but in the corporate worship, there's lots of stuff about music, not so much in the personal. Here it says, sing to the Lord, you righteous. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Amazing. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music. Strike the timbres. Play the melodious harp and lyre. He's a great king. above all gods. I'm just moving that fairly quickly. And then what we might call the warfare, WWW of all course, the war, the worship and the warfare. Psalm 3, he's the shield around me. He strike my enemies, from the Lord comes deliverance. Again, Psalm 7, deliver me from those who pursue me, or they'll tear me apart. I don't suppose you often have that experience, you know, people pursuing you to tear you apart, but you do have enemies. You have the works of the powers of darkness and maybe using people to get to your life. Maybe some times when you say, Psalm 12, you will protect us forever from the wicked. So much stuff in there, isn't there? You could spend a lifetime. The Lord is worthy of praise, and I've been saved from my enemies. Oh, in God we'll make our boast all day long. That's what I wanted to say. But in concluding, the thing that struck me the most was, A, David had the plans for a temple from the Spirit of God. It's a God idea. This here this morning is a God idea, made possible through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I looked at this morning, and some of the Anglicans and the Catholics even kneel before the cross, and I wanted to do that. On my knees ain't so good either, you know, so pray some more. But seriously, I could have knelt before that and wept, when I suddenly thought, wow, this is my God. This is my God. And this represents his blood and his broken body. But then again, the music, the worship, the singing, the Levites, the trumpets, was all part of a command from God as well. It's all God's idea, and not ours up here or ours down there. So when we come, God is a great God. He is worthy to be praised. And I want to encourage you. There's lots of things about postures there, lifting your hands, bowing down, prostrate, whatever it is, shouting, speaking, playing something. I want to encourage you to give more, to do more. To be like David, who says, I will yet be more undignified. I don't give a toss what people think. I'm going to worship my God, for he deserves it. And when we come together, if we're all doing that in our lives, you know, noting what God's doing in our personal life to give him personal praise, coming together, realizing what a great God he is and what his plans and purposes are for us, we'll give him loads. We give it welly, as Brian Parkey would say. We give it some welly. And finally, in that context, God will deal with our enemies. God will deal with our troubles, because it's out of the presence of God, out of Zion, as David would say, the lion roars. Not the jungle. You know, it's not the jungle. It's Zion. It's the house of God. That's who we are. That's an awesome blessing and an awesome responsibility. Amen. So there we are. I'm going to pray. Father God, some of that's a bit heavy, maybe. But I think all of it's right and real. We've seen it in the scriptures. Would you help us to overcome our shyness? Help us to overcome our fear of man. Help me too, because I got it as well. And help all of us to focus on Jesus Christ and him only, that we might just give ourselves in praise to you, exalt you, that your praise would be in our mouth always. It wouldn't take any effort just to say, thank you, Jesus. Praise my God. Both in our private lives and corporately. And to the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen.